The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We are coming to you from the Strand Hotel in beautiful Limerick City today on the banks of the Shannon. Limerick, like everywhere else in the country, going to the polls, the people of Limerick on the 7th of June. Unlike everywhere else in the country, they, as well as picking their candidates or their choice for local council and for European elections, and whether or not we might be voting on this European patent court, we'll have to wait and see. But more exciting for people in this part of the world, they are going to be choosing a mayor. The first time this city anywhere in Ireland will be directly electing a mayor. And between now and 7, we're going to be hearing from some of those who would hold that position. Dee Ryan is with me. She's Fianna Fáil's candidate for Mayor of Limerick. Conor Sheehan, who is a Labour councillor and the Labour Party candidate as well. And John Moran, who's an independent candidate as well. You're all very, very welcome, folks. And thanks a million for joining us. John, I might start with yourself. What are your top three priorities, or would be your top three priorities as mayor? The three things you would hope to achieve above all else?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, Kieran, thank you very much for being here. And I guess just to clarify, I think, you know, for the people listening, this isn't just about the city of Limerick, it's actually the city and the county. So it's an even more interesting debate in that respect, because you've got to come up with policies that work for both. And I mean, no surprise, like it's housing, right? So we've called that our more livable policy. We've issued a document with 100 plus actions that we're going to take. Then it's about jobs, which is the next area, and prosperity and equal opportunity for everyone. That second pillar of our policy is published with 149 actions that I know I can do as mayor. And then the third one, which is, I suppose, given my own personal experiences in the last while, is about having a more healthy Limerick. And of course, Limerick is home to the stories about UHL, but it's way broader than that. And again, that policy document has another sort of 40 or 50 actions. So the whole lot of those get delivered. But I suppose the important thing is delivery. Because I think if I look at Limerick in the last sort of 10 years since I've come back here, we've had lots of plans, we've had lots of ideas, lots of artist drawings of what the city could be, but really poor delivery on that. And so I think it's changing the governance around the way things are delivered in the city and in the county, around the council, around the county council, as in the official staff, and the agencies which are here, whether it's the HSE or indeed the LDA.
So to a degree, I mean, there's a value then or a premium on being a conduit between kind of the council, local authorities, agencies and agencies of the state, is there as well?
Yeah, no, look, I think there's a lot you can do that's different. And I guess this is why I loved this idea of the mayor beforehand. Obviously, we need to get going straight away. I mean, it's why literally, as I said, my mayoral programme is effectively out in draft form now for the councillors to look at and for the people to look at. If they have any issues, they can get in touch with us even before the election, because I want to hit the ground running when I arrive. I mean, typically what I tend to do with these things, I'd love to have taken a holiday when we finish this grueling election. But I think the first 2 or 3 weeks is getting to know everybody, actually testing that program, because it's going to be an incredibly busy first couple of months, right? And then you're going to have to talk to all the stakeholders and everything else. We've pretty much announced that, for example, with the HSE and the UHL, I don't believe that they are accountable to the council and to the mayor. So we're asking them to come in to the mayoral office every quarter to actually explain what they're doing. And we're asking to appear in front of the council once a year to actually deliver on what they say they will deliver. And we can check that locally. And then if there's a problem in that, the mayor will have an opportunity, after having had that conversation with the council, to raise that with ministers. And I think there's a lot of governance stuff that has to change there.
I want to bring you in here, but what's the annual budget and how many people would you be managing as mayor?
Yeah, so there's about over 1,000 people in the council that you're managing. And there's also, it's sort of tough for people to follow the budget, but essentially the budget is about €1 billion that goes through the council for which they're responsible for. But 700 or so of that is actually spent on HAP across the system. So you're left with, say, 250, 300 million or so of money that is spent and they're allocated by the council in agreement now with the mayor, previously the CEO. But then there's a capital budget on top of that, which is money that the state give directly to Limerick, and it's again managed by the council. So if it's spent badly, we have cost overruns. You've got to try and find a way to explain that. If it's spent well, you'd hope that you might be able to keep some of that money down here in Limerick.
So Dee Ryan, like I say, is the Fianna Fáil candidate for the role. Dee, what would you do with that money and that that budget and all of those people, all that staff? What are your policy priorities?
Yeah, I mean, it's a critical role for Limerick, and we have an opportunity here now with the right person in the role to really shape the dialogue between Limerick, what the whole of the county wants and what national government has been asked to deliver. There's two aspects of the role: executive, what the mayor can do themselves, and then representation. And it's critical that we put someone in with a strong voice to look for what we need. For me, those priorities, I'm focused on a small number of big things, and those priorities for me are health and housing. And that's what I'm hearing across the county, from Abbeyfield to Adair, from Castleconnell to Cappamore. People are concerned about our hospital, and people want more affordable housing for their children to build futures around. So that's where I'll be putting the focus of my campaign and my term.
So in terms of practical things you could do, or you would hope to do as mayor on the health front, like what would you do? What could you do? Can you do anything about UHL?
Absolutely. I mean, it's unthinkable for me that the Mayor of Limerick would not be focused on UHL and on fixing that problem. Dr. Gray said there just in the last 10 days that we need 300 beds at the University Hospital Limerick. And I could sit here and talk to you about the 96-bed block that's under construction and the second one that's committed to, or I could talk to you about the 1,000 new healthcare workers that have been put into UHL in the last 4 years. But that won't make a difference to the person who's been on a trolley overnight last night and is still on a trolley today. We have to use the Office of the Mayor to focus on bringing forward the further 133 beds that the consultants tell us we need, and also to talk to our Minister
Donnelly.
So
this is the representation part of the role, is it? Like, you've no executive power when it comes to...
Well, I would disagree there. I would disagree there. I think as the leader of the local authority, you're responsible for the planning. So I have already proposed that I would put together sprint teams within the local authority that would focus on, at pre-planning stage, ensuring that applications are coming through for important strategic issues like this, like the next block of the hospital, or like the surgical hub that's going into Limerick City, that those be fast-tracked and that we cut through the red tape, and we ensure that those applications are coming in as complete as possible before they go into the independent scrutiny part.
Conor, what's the first thing you would do if you were Mayor of Limerick?
Good afternoon, Kieran, and very good afternoon to your listeners. I suppose my number one priority in relation to this election is housing and the delivery of housing. As the youngest candidate in the race, somebody who's 31 years of age, I know all about the housing crisis. I've been at the raw end of it, as have most people my age. The first thing I would look at is, for example, Limerick 2030 are doing the OPERA development at the moment. Our former TD in Limerick, Jan O'Sullivan, went to oral hearing on the lack of a residential element in that development. The commercial vacancy rate in Limerick is above average. There is only a very small number of apartments in that development. I would look for Limerick 2030 to putting a planning amendment to onboard Planola to increase the number of residential units in that development. That's the first thing I would do. The second thing I would do is I would look at, for example, vacancy and dereliction. It's the biggest issue we have. And the first problem we have with that is we don't have accurate data, because the CSO vacancy rate is more than double what the vacancy rate is under local property tax returns. So there's a clear discrepancy there, and I would seek funding for an additional vacant homes officer, and if I couldn't get funding from that nationally, it's something I would look to fund from my own mayoral budget, because I think it's so important. You talk to anyone around the place, they'll tell you that they are concerned about the number of vacant either residential or commercial units in our city and in our towns and in all the rural areas.
Beyond housing, I mean, let's imagine somebody listening to this, Conor, who is a homeowner already, and not that they're kind of ambivalent or agnostic or apathetic about the kind of the housing situation. I don't think anybody is. But they already own their home and they wonder, how's Conor going to improve my quality of life?
Well, most homeowners that I know, that I've spoken to, for example, they have adult children living with them beyond the age of which it's considered to be socially acceptable. So I think you talk to people who are homeowners, I think they empathise, they understand. They understand the fact that we need more delivery in housing, because if we do not have the enough delivery in housing, we'll end up with a brain drain.
Yeah.
Because 23,000...
I accept that. I guess
age.
The question was more a polite way of saying, beyond housing, Conor, what are you going to do?
Well, I suppose my second focus would be on communities, and one of the things that I would look to do with the mayoral budget is to ensure that there's seed funding there to have a community centre in every town and every village in both rural and urban Limerick. I think it's really important. I look at my own locality. I live in an area called Garryowen. There have been two suitable sites identified. The Minister for Rural and Community Development has a fund by which it's a shovel-ready community centre fund, and we were not ready last year to go in with an application for that. And as Mayor, I would ensure that projects like that could get off the ground and get delivered.
Dee, what's the metric for success for the role?
Oh, I think it's how far forward you can bring Limerick over the five-year term. Crucially, Kieran, the Act allows for, and Section 30 of the Act allows for, the Mayor of Limerick to sit almost as a minister for Limerick at full cabinet table twice a year, with the Minister for Local Government and Housing chairing that meeting. That's an incredible opportunity for Limerick. That gives us a chance to put Limerick on the table, on the agenda for all of the government ministers of the day to focus on what they can do to support the Mayor to deliver a better Limerick. So, 5 years, what will success look like for me? For me, it'll be more affordable housing, and for me, it'll be tackling and fixing the hospital crisis in UHL.
And in other ways, what way would you improve my day-to-day, my quality of life, my experience of the city if I lived in Limerick? I imagine I live out in the suburbs, yeah. And by all accounts, yeah, large parts of the suburbs in Limerick are thriving, you know what I mean? There's been a kind of a donut effect here, like there has been, yeah, in lots of cities. So let's imagine I'm living out in one of them, I'm working in town, you know, O'Connell Street needs a lick of paint, yeah, you know what I mean? There's derelict buildings out there. What are you going to do?
Yeah, and right across the county, and I've been all across the county holding public meetings and talking about what's important to people. This is coming back, actually, and not just Limerick City Centre, but a lot of our county towns and villages. There's a main street hollowing out. It's something that we do have to tackle, and I would make it a priority. That's why I've announced that my mayoral budget I would be using for a people and communities fund, and that's to support important things like playground upgrades or public realm improvements or a vehicle for the local Meals on Wheels group or for the men's shed or the women's sheds, whatever the community group is that needs support that isn't able to access it through other government funding. And that's where I'd be putting the mayoral budget into.
John, what would your vision be for the city centre to improve quality of life?
Yeah, so I think the problem, I'm listening to this, and I mean, one of the real struggles I have coming into these debates this week is I don't know how the people of Limerick actually know what the other candidates are actually doing, because we've almost got no manifestos out. So we're hearing things about, I get more affordable housing, I get more of this. But like four more affordable homes actually satisfies that election promise over 5 years. And so there's a real difficulty at the moment, I think, for people listening, because they really don't have a good sense of what's happening. And we've heard kind of health and housing, and I'm hearing that as well on the ground. But for far too long, the party political system in Ireland, and that's why I'm running as an independent, to be able to do things differently, focuses election to election. And they focus on what they think the most of the noise is, without realizing that if you only focus on one thing, you actually don't solve anything. And that's why when we put out the manifesto that I have, there's three different legs to that. And each one of them have to work. It's not just about derelict housing. It's about fixing the town of Abbeyfield so that it actually works and people want to live there. It's about the fact that in Limerick at the moment, where our population is trending behind the national average, that means that Limerick is just not attractive enough at the moment, which is why employers aren't able to get talent. And any talent that they got, they're leaving. It's interesting that what Dee's saying are her two priorities are the ones that the two Fianna Fáil ministers have failed to deliver on for Limerick over the term of this government. And I don't know what's going to change in the way she's doing it. I mean, I've suggested for housing, for example, that we grasp the nettle down here in Limerick. We introduce potentially hundreds or thousands of modular homes that could actually give rental accommodation to people over the next 4 to 5 years, work with the LDA, so that anybody who takes up one of those homes, let's say up in Colbert or on any other state land that is sitting around unused, they get first priority to get one of the affordable homes that come, because we can't wait for 5 years to actually fix some of these problems. And I've not yet heard any, believe it or not, short-term solutions from any of the parties about how to solve the health crisis or the housing crisis. And then they're not solving our jobs crisis. We have thousands of kids leaving Limerick like I did in the 80s. They're still leaving Limerick every year.
Okay, I'm going to go back to Dee and Conor on that. But like, Limerick will not be post-election its own little fiefdom, you know, kind of independent from the rest of the country. And is there an argument that Dee or Conor or somebody who's got a direct relationship with one of the bigger government parties, if they happen to be in government, might prove to be more successful just by virtue of the fact that those parties will have a vested interest in their success?
Yeah, well, I'd assume that any of the candidates that are currently running any of the parties currently running a candidate have made it clear to those people before they accepted the job of candidate what they're going to promise them if they're mayor. And we don't know what that is, right? But it works both ways. I mean, at one level, if your minister is of your party, they're setting the national policy. You can't really give out about them. And we all know the way party politics works in Ireland. I mean, you don't have a freedom to do that. Equally, you could just as easily have a minister from another party for whom you're the sworn enemy. And so Limerick would spend 5 years in basically, you know, Siberia, unable to talk to people. So that's why I think it's much better off that you have an independent candidate who can come with evidence, have a track record to show what should happen, and actually work with everybody.
Yeah,
what's the counter argument?
Yeah, you know, I totally disagree. I mean, I think that it's, first of all, the Mayor of Limerick is an independent office and the person will be wearing one jersey, and that's the Limerick jersey, and they will absolutely need to be able to put it up to the government of the day in order to get things done for Limerick, and I'm committed to doing that. But secondly, I would say that, you know, as a Fianna Fáil candidate, I do expect Fianna Fáil to be in government again after the next election. And so it can only be to Limerick's advantage to have a mayor that has already developed relationships with those people to bring all of that attention to Limerick.
How much discussion has taken place between your campaign and Fianna Fáil HQ as to the promises that you would make?
I spoke to Minister Donnelly last week about the hospital. This is critical for me. It is really an issue that I know is important to the people of Limerick. I do believe that we need to bring forward in total 300 beds, as Dr. Gray said. That's a further 133 beyond what has already been committed to. And I'm advocating for that recruitment ban that we're seeing at the hospital right now to be lifted. I think UHL has a particular set of circumstances, it being the only Model 4 hospital in the vicinity without a Model 3 hospital supporting it, that needs the additional staff. And our staff there have been they're so stretched. We need to support them, and their morale is critical to us.
But with all due respect, the government had a major announcement on health last week, on housing across the country, and Limerick got left out.
Yeah.
If they wanted Dee or a Fianna Fáil candidate to do well in the mayoral election, they should have promised that we were going to get 300 beds now. They didn't, and I don't think we'll ever see them.
Connor?
Sorry, I think this is part of the problem, right? Running for election of directly elected mayor of Limerick and claiming you're going to solve the crisis in UHL, I just don't think that's tenable or believable. There are no levers you can pull there in relation to health. That's a fact. I mean, the fact of the matter is we have five government TDs across Limerick City and County. And if those government TDs combined of the three government parties cannot get Minister Donnelly to lift the recruitment ban, there's 200 unfilled posts. The panels are complete. The people are ready to go, but they can't let them in because there's a recruitment ban. We need a Model 3 hospital in the Midwest. That's a fact. We only have a Model 4. The rest are Model 2s. So like if the ministers and if the government will not listen to a TD, or listen to this, even the senior minister in County Limerick, I doubt they're going to listen to anybody running for this directly elected mayor election, and it's completely facetious.
So is that your way of saying there's nothing we can do in health that's focused on other areas?
I'm saying that what we should be focusing on are the issues that we can actually deal with as the mayor. So they are issues in terms of housing, they are issues in terms of urban and rural regeneration, they are issues in terms of revitalising our town centres and our less populated areas. I think use the powers that you have, pull the levers that you have.
And here we get more policies added by other candidates. I mean, that's the reason we put out a full suite of policies, because every time I listen to one of these debates, a candidate comes up with a new idea,
all I can say to you, Kieran, is that unfortunately it sounds like Connor and John can't see the full potential of this role. This is a critical role for Limerick. Under section 16, there will be a review.
I'm still not quite sure, to Connor's point, how you're going to kind of fill 300 posts through your responsibilities and planning.
It's 300 bed capacity that we need at the hospital. We've had 167 committed to, and it's a further 133.
Beds, when people talk about beds, though, what they talk about are posts. You're recruiting people. It's
and
not
the
like
additional,
the physical infrastructure of a bed.
And the HSE are responsible for the recruitment of the team. But if you are aware,
we have a recruitment ban.
As Connor is mentioning, we have a recruitment ban, a recruitment freeze across the whole of Ireland, across the healthcare system happening at the moment. If that had been proposed in 12 months' time after the mayor has been in office, the mayor has, under section 35 of the Act, a statutory consultation with a minister of the day or any head of any state organisation. So the mayor would have to have been consulted in advance by Minister Donnelly and by Bernard Gloucester, the head of the HSE, and could, of course, make the strong case for why we need a lifting of that recruitment ban or not bringing it in at all, in fact, for Limerick and for UHL.
I'm already in trouble because we should have wrapped this up a few minutes ago. It's the nature of these things. There's so much more we could talk about. But listen, John Moore, an independent candidate, Conor Sheehan, Labour candidate, and D. Ryan, Fianna Fáil candidate. Thank you all very much. We spoke to several of the would-be mayors. We spoke to John Moran, we spoke to D. Ryan, and we also caught up with Conor Sheehan from the Labour Party. They are not the only candidates. More of them will be joining us between now and seven. Rory Fahey is one such candidate. He is running for People Before Profit. Take a listen.
I'm Rory Fahey. I'll be running for directly elected mayor for People Before Profit. I initially got involved because I couldn't bear to see the housing crisis continue going on, to see all my friends emigrating, to see a climate crisis that's leaving droughts in part of the world, leaving them completely uninhabitable, while also then seeing, you know, floods starting to happen in Europe and then us seeing the effect of it now as well. And I'm running for directly elected mayor on a platform of trying to go and, you know, bring back Limerick's radical history. Because it has a history of workers refusing to accept British occupation back in 1919, a history of workers saying no to exploitative employers, paying poverty wages. Then we had, like in the 1970s, massive rent strikes in Limerick. And then more recently, Limerick led the way again, fighting the water charges. So I think, you know, we've got a government now telling us, oh, you know, you're going to make history by voting for a directly elected mayor. But in reality, you know, history isn't made by somebody sitting in a boardroom. History is made by people uniting together and fighting for real transformative change. So people need to be wary of those who are promising the world of elected mayor, especially those who've been aligned with the people in power for years on end. And all the while, the government had $8 billion sitting unspent. If they wanted to improve services in Limerick, they would have done it already. The only promise I'm making if I'm elected as mayor is that I'll organise, mobilise and stand with people of Limerick who are fighting for not just positive but transformative change. Together, I think we can fight for free public transport, for universal public housing, for a functioning health service and for climate action that improves people's lives instead of weighing them down with more tax and austerity. So I think 2024 is our chance for change, but change will be made by people who refuse to be squeezed by rising rents and mortgage interest rate hikes, soaring food prices and crushing energy prices, but by those who get organised and fight for a Limerick that puts people before profit.
We spoke to some of the hopeful candidates a little bit earlier. Three more with me now in the Strand Hotel. Maurice Quinlivan, who of course is the Sinn Féin TD. Brian Leddon, a Green Party TD as well. And Helen O'Donnell, who's an independent candidate for mayor. You're all very welcome. Thanks a million for joining us, all of you. So Helen, we'll get straight into it. I'm sure you've got a long list of priorities like everybody else. The top three. What are the three things you would most like to achieve if Mayor of Limerick?
That's a challenge. Thank you, Kieran, and nice to be here. I would, if elected, bring leadership and vision to the county and city of Limerick. And in that, in the city centre, for example, I want a safe, clean, green, vibrant city centre. I've already publicised that I would have a stakeholders forum that would discuss, make recommendations, and those recommendations would be executed to make sure that we get vibrancy and energy back into the city centre. Everywhere I go, county and city, people talk about the lack of energy and the lack of business in the city centre. So we really need to get that right. I would also retrofit boarded up houses and get people back living over the shop, because we need more people living in the city. More houses built faster. You will see a difference if I'm elected. The second thing I would do is the rural side of things, because it has to be very much a mayor for county and city. I would look at making an exemplar of towns and villages and renovating derelict buildings, boarded up shops and businesses, and make rural grants simple. There's a huge amount of red tape, I understand. This is actually administered by the council. I want to cut out all red tape and make it simple for people to access these grants and take them up. Empower and support local communities to support themselves. And finally, my third leading piece would be offshore energy, offshore wind energy off Foynes. We have a huge opportunity to have offshore wind energy. And Foynes is the perfectly placed for lots of reasons, because of its deep water and because of the wind that comes in that estuary. It would bring industry, jobs and renewable energy to the Midwest.
Now, there's a big national strategy when it comes to where offshore wind farms are going to be created. How does this come under the bailiwick of Mayor of Limerick?
It's because you're responsible for environment And in that is energy, and we have the perfect location in Foynes for offshore energy. And the Midwest needs more electricity, more energy, to service all the industries and the potential industries. The type of industry would be cable making.
But are you talking about like lobbying central government to change those national plans?
The West, you will have wind energy off the west of Ireland, and the Midwest and is included. So obviously they're talking about Galway. I want it off Foynes because it's ideally located with the deep water and the direction of the wind.
Maurice Quinlivan, Sinn Féin TD and the party's candidate for Mayor of Limerick, what would you hope to achieve?
Well, the first thing I hope to achieve is to become the mayor for the people of Limerick and city and county, but just not be a mayor that they're used to. This is a new role, obviously. People are starting to understand what we're talking about. But I want to be the mayor that delivers for Limerick and deliver to make sure Limerick gets its fair share of government funding. So I develop that role into being not just the mayor of Limerick, to become an ambassador for Limerick. That's around tourism and stuff and strategies we can develop around there. The issue then of, I would consider myself, if I was elected, if the people decided I would be the best person, which I think I am, if the people decided to elect me on the 7th of June, then I would become basically a minister for Limerick, and that's the champion what I would be doing for Limerick. Like, we have massive opportunities here. City is wonderful. We came out of a brilliant weekend of the Riverfest. Anybody who's been to that will have seen the really good qualities of Limerick, the really benefits of Limerick, the buzz as well on the streets. But develop that and to get people to come. We have an airport out the road there where thousands and thousands of tourists come every single year to land in Shannon Airport, and the vast majority of them don't come into Limerick, don't ever stay overnight in Limerick. So that would be a priority of myself, is making sure that those people, we reach out to those people and those people stay. But the biggest priority, and it's come up in the door all the time, and I'm 7 years in the Dáil, 7 years in the council before that, is housing and delivering affordable housing for people. For instance, we're sitting here in Limerick City where there's 200 vacant council-owned properties that are boarded up at the moment. It's an absolute scandal. And I would consider myself a failure if I was the mayor and 5 years later somebody could say it to me with that amount of council and properties boarded up. So it would be a strategic investment in that, and we would do whatever we have to do, borrow money, get onto government, cut the red tape, because there's a massive amount of red tape when a house is boarded up. And obviously the other issue, which is not directly with the mayor, but as part of my campaign, I'm going to be highlighting the absolute scandal of our hospital and the emergency department in our hospital, because that is, as I said, it's not the issue for the mayor, but it'd be remiss of anybody who's going forward in the election to not raise that issue. And I would be raising it the whole time. And if next year, and I hope my own government, my own party being government, I'd be raising it with them as well.
Brian Leddon, Green Party TD and mayoral candidate. What would you do as mayor?
Okay, three things. The first one would be to pursue a vision that I've been working on for a number of years and have made good progress in already. And people across County Limerick will know of the Limerick to Foynes railway project, and that allows us to build, it's going to be for freight ostensibly, but there's a huge opportunity now to build new stations in places like Adair, Patrick's Well, Raheen, where there's about 8,000 people commuting to daily. But that's really the first part of a vision for a whole metropolitan railway network in the Midwest, including a rail link to Shannon Airport. And it's not just me saying that this can be done. The chief executive of Irish Rail has said this can be done within 5 years for about 200 million euros. He said that recently at the Joint Directors Committee on Transport. And I'm looking at stations in places like Moyross and Ballysimon are actually advancing already. They're at early planning stage. But we need to be looking at Corbally, Parkway, Anacotti, probably two in Ballysimon, one further out as a park and ride, one further in near the new school, the new hospital and the new private development. That's only the first priority. It's very doable within the 5 years, or at least a lot of it is doable. The second one is, now I'm launching my manifesto on Friday, but I'm just going to give listeners a sneak preview of that. I'm going to use the 40 million euro fund that's coming from central government. I'm going to leverage that with other funds that are there, like the URDF and the RRDF, and I'm going to deliver four multi-million euro street and town renewal programs for Limerick City and County. There'll be one for the city and there'll be three for County Limerick. Those are going to be delivered in parallel in the 5 years. And then the third priority, and I share this one with Helen, as the person who conceived of the idea of the Midwest becoming a global clean energy hub. I was the person who wrote this into the programme for government in 2020. I'm the person, I believe, understands this potential better than anybody. And I want to see the Midwest become that hub. I think there's a fantastic opportunity for a region to become a real center of clean energy production. And that is going to create thousands of jobs. And second to that, it's not just going to create thousands of jobs as we create the infrastructure and the services for that infrastructure. Industry is going to locate in the Midwest because they're looking for this clean energy.
We're going to come back to mayoral candidates, our hopefuls who are in studio with me. But Daniel Butler from Fine Gael is also hoping to be mayor. Here's why.
Hello, my name is Daniel Butler and I'm running to be the direct elected mayor of Limerick. As a councillor, I've been turned up and representing the people of Limerick now for the last 10 years and also having served as actually the mayor of Limerick. First and foremost, we're looking at enterprise. So Limerick is the driving force of the Midwest. And as mayor, I need to be focused on expanding opportunities for Limerick. Both housing is definitely up there of a hugely topical issue that had an impact both on enterprise in terms of foreign direct investment, but most importantly on people's lives. I suppose in terms of infrastructure, we really need to talk about the Northern Distributor Road, which is a key piece of infrastructure that needs to be delivered to see growth, especially across the east side of our county. But ultimately, you know, their job as mayor is to improve the quality of life of people in Limerick. And I want to play a key focus on improving the quality of life for all citizens. And with that, we have to consider our University Hospital Limerick. And I will work very hard on behalf of people in Limerick to try and improve our public health service. Of course, safety is an issue right across Ireland and it's no different here in Limerick. So keeping communities safe across Limerick will be another key priority. And I want to see more Gardaí patrolling our streets. In terms of rural developments, you know, it's important that, you know, people, I suppose the connection is with mayor is mostly in the city. So it's something that's still evolving in the county. But I want to represent communities right across the county and I want to assure people across the county that I intend in doing that. And I understand the challenges facing rural towns and villages. I suppose with this five-point plan, combined with my understanding of issues and experience serving as mayor of Limerick and as a councillor, I really do believe that I'm the best placed person to deliver for the people of Limerick.
That was Daniel Butler. He is hoping to be a Fine Gael mayor of Limerick City and County after the 7th of June. Helen O'Donnell is with me. She's an independent candidate. Brian Ledden, the Green Party candidate, and Maurice Quinlivan, the Sinn Féin candidate as well. Beyond dereliction, Maurice, I mean, the way you describe the role, it sounds an awful lot like you're just doing marketing for the city, isn't it?
Well, it's a lot more than that. Like, I would have been the strongest probably critic of the legislation that came forward in the Dáil, and my firm belief is we can expand this role. So, like, I would consider myself, if the people do decide to vote for me, which I hope they will, to develop this role as I become the Minister for Limerick, basically, and you're dealing with, hopefully, in a year or so, or less than a year, hopefully, a new government. Hopefully, Sinn Féin will be in that government, and I'll be dealing with a Sinn Féin minister. And as my party leader last week, when she was in Limerick, and she's committed it again, to devolve additional powers to the mayor and enhance that role going forward. And then you'll be dealing with issues around policing and land acquisition, which is all amendments we put down and were unfortunately defeated, and deliver what I would call the council to be a living wage council. But I've said it's in my leaflet, it'll be in my manifesto, which I'll be producing in the next few days. I want to be mayor for the people, and that sounds like a cliche, but what I'm talking about there is straight away I'll be consulting with people. A commitment I'm making that one day a week I would be out in local areas talking to people about concerns that issue that affect them. Communities that are strong will strengthen them. Communities that are weak will help develop them. But to make sure the council is available to everybody, because I believe I was on the council for 7 years. I'm in the Dáil for 7 years. I have the experience. I believe I have the best experience of all the candidates. I chaired the Oireachtas Committee on Enterprise for the last 4 years. We've had a number of reports, bills come through. Has always achieved a consensus,
yeah,
which is going to be important on going forward.
Well, you talk about consulting with people. You talked as well, Helen, about consulting with stakeholders to come up with a plan for the city centre. Might I suggest you could have done that before running for office? I mean, you're going to have a kind of a national budget where decisions will be made around kind of funding for this role and funding for some of the priorities you set out. If you say, well, actually, I'm going to sit down and come up with a plan after I'm elected, not much of a sales pitch.
We have had a number of consultation meetings with different interest groups and different demographies in the city and county. But in the city centre is a crisis in terms of the trade in the city, the footfall in the city and business in the city. We also need more people living in the city. A lot of the people who live in the city don't feel they're being regarded as stakeholders and they're the residents. So I want everybody to input for a very short, sharp period into a forum and have deliverable outcomes and actually deliver on those. And that would be very much part of my plan. So you'd be representing every single person.
Well, for people who are listening, though, who are from Limerick, potential voters, they want to know what your priorities are. What would Helen do about the city centre? You've got all these lovely areas around city, and there's been kind of big suburban development, and large parts of that are not, I'm not saying that there's not issues you can deal with out there, but the city centre has been hollowed out a bit. What's Helen going to do for that, beyond talking to stakeholders?
We need to have more business in the city. In order to get more people, more footfall in the city, we need more business, and that would be encouraging businesses, attracting them to Limerick. Looking at Cruises Street, for example, where there's very little happening, just a few businesses left on that street, empowering the street to attract businesses. And these will be national chains. We need more business in the city to up the footfall. We also need to support local businesses that exist already. We have one of the oldest bookshops in the country, O'Mahony's, a really great bookstore on O'Connell Street. We have food shops, butchers, fish shops. All of these need support. So I'd be supporting them, but adding to the variety of shops in the city. That's one thing. Also, getting into Limerick can be a huge challenge. Looking at the navigating the city, because you either have nobody on the street or gridlock. Over the weekend was amazing. There were thousands of people around the city. It was buzzing. I want that to be a more frequent happening. I want more festivals, more art, more encouraging people in to enjoy our city. When you get them here, they love it. A bit like myself. When you come here, you never leave. And that's happened to more people than I know.
Brian, you're effectively taking over some, if not all, of the functions of the CEO, who isn't disappearing. It's just got a new title. But anyway, we don't want to get kind of lost in the weeds of that argument for the moment. But as somebody who was involved, as you say, in putting together Ireland's kind of national strategy for offshore wind development, you would know full well that the CEOs of local authorities have no role or responsibility in developing or in deciding where that happens. So why do you think you're going to do it as mayor?
There's more to this role of directly elected mayor than simply we're not just electing a directly elected chief executive officer. We are doing that and more. The mayor is going to have the mandate from the current population of 210,000 people. So I defy any minister of the day in any government not to listen to the mayor that has been elected by that number of people. That's a population currently represented by seven Oireachtas members.
You've no actual say on policy. What you're saying is that you're a lobbyist.
It's written into the legislation, and Morris would have been very involved in this, as was I, that the mayor of Limerick is going to be a statutory consultee. They will have the ear of the relevant minister on any issue relating to Limerick, whether it's the hospital, whether it's education, whether it's transport or housing. The mayor will have direct access to the relevant cabinet ministers of the day. So when it comes to developing Limerick as a global energy hub, I would certainly be making the case very strongly as one of the key architects of this vision that this can and should happen in the Midwest, and it should happen as soon as possible, because it's not just going to benefit the Midwest, it's going to benefit the whole country. But it really is exciting for this part of Ireland. And this is part of a vision. And I should say that when I talked about the transport element of my vision, that's also a housing vision. That's about opening up land for development in places like Moyross, in places like Ballysimon, Raheen, Mongret, Anacotti, and so on. And this is about ultimately creating a Limerick, a fast-growing, thriving Limerick, ultimately a city, region, European institution that's going, I need to say this, it's going to become a counterweight to the capital in the years and decades ahead, and we need to plan for that.
All right, okay, very, very briefly then, in 30 seconds each before you go, in your first day in office, Morris, what's your version of Barack Obama signing an executive order to close Guantanamo Bay? What are you going to do to improve the quality of life of the Limerick voter listening to this?
The first thing I'm going to do on the first day is going to bring in all the senior officials and tell them they have to stop using the word no and use the word yes. And if somebody comes in with a proposal and they can't do, they can come back with a version of it that they can do. So we have to stop this nonsense where the council is disconnected from the people. I would be the mayor for the people, all of the people.
Helen, to improve the quality of life of the voter listening to this, day one.
A standard of excellence right across the board for the people of Limerick. And health and well-being is incredibly important for people. And I want everybody to feel that they're represented by the mayor and it's who they want to represent Limerick. That's the important question.
Brian?
I would differ from ours in this. Whoever is elected to this role on June 7th isn't going to rule the roost over Limerick. It's a role for somebody who's cooperative.
It's a brand new role.
And sorry, Mars, it's a role for somebody who's cooperative, collaborative, able to compromise, who's got a good track record in negotiation, which I have. There are three pillars of local government as of June the 7th. There's the directly elected mayor, there's the executive, and there's the 40 elected councillors. And whoever is elected is going to have to make that relationship work. And I think that's critically important. So I would be seeking an immediate meeting with the executive, with the 40 elected new elected councillors. I would be saying I have a mandate now from the people of Limerick to develop this vision that I've put in front of them. And we would take it from there.
So meetings, see how we're going to, that's what you'll do. That's your first but in fairness, action,
the first
hold a meeting.
To say to the people that you've elected a new, different type of mayor and the mayor's going to be there for you. A mayor for the people, that's just a bland cliche. That's what I'm going to do.
Well,
constantly talking to the people and taking their ideas on board.
Meetings manifest as action, so I'm being facetious. Listen, we wish you all well, anybody who throws their hat in the ring. Brian Leddon, Green Party, hopeful for the office. Helen O'Donnell, who's an independent candidate, and Maurice Quinlivan, the Sinn Féin candidate. We're coming to you live today from the Strand Hotel on the banks of the Shannon. We are in Limerick City, and we are here to talk, amongst other things, about the upcoming election. So everybody in this city and county, like everywhere else in the country, will be voting in local and European elections on the 7th of June. But unlike everywhere else in the country, they will also be voting here to select a mayor, a directly elected mayor. And lots of people outside Limerick will be looking at this experiment to see how it goes. Those hoping to come out on top on election day, three of them with me in our studio here in the Strand. Eliza O'Donovan, who's a Social Democrat councillor. She's the party's candidate for Mayor of Limerick. Frankie Daly, who's an independent councillor and a candidate for the mayoral role. And Dr. Laura Keyes, a Rowerta candidate for the mayor as well. You're all very, very welcome.
Thanks a million
for joining us. Laura, if I can start with yourself, what are your top three? I mean, I'm sure you've got a long list like everybody else, but the top three things you would like to achieve as mayor, three policy priorities.
So my top three are hospital, homes, and a culture shift towards a person-centred approach and accessibility. Now, I have a mayoral programme that I have been developing since last February. I'm developing it with the people of Limerick. So I'm just about to publish draft three of it. We've had two rounds of input. The whole concept here is flipping things on its head. And instead of me developing a manifesto, instead working with people to put their voices at the centre of decision-making and planning. But the top two things that come out of that are the hospital and homes. Now, in terms of the hospital, there are two things that I want to see done immediately. First, we have the moratorium on staffing imposed by the HSE. Now, the reason that's there is because the government did not allocate enough budget to the HSE this year. And I was actually really surprised to see Dee Ryan calling it out earlier that she wants it lifted when it's her own minister from Fianna Fáil that didn't budget enough in the first place. We can have that lifted immediately. We need staff in UHL today.
Well, now, if you were listening earlier, you'll know the point I made to Dee Ryan, and I'll make it to you too. What has that got to do with being the mayor of Limerick?
So it's got an awful lot to do with being the mayor of Limerick. So if we look to my greater plan around the hospital and we look to the root causes of the hospital, one of the issues that we have is that we cannot get staff into that hospital. So we are training the graduates here in the universities, but then they are upping and leaving. Now, why aren't they staying? The number one reason they're not staying here is because they have nowhere to live. Housing is fully within the remit of the mayor. If we just look at things as individual projects, just look at the hospital issue or just look at housing or just look at education, we miss out on the fact that it's all interconnected.
Okay.
If you step back and look at things as systems, you can actually solve problems in a much better way that feed into everything and elevate the health and well-being of all of the population of Limerick.
Frankie Daly, what are your three priorities, or would they be? What would
Listen,
they be?
Listen, there's so many priorities, but I think, Kieran, everything is kind of interlinked. So if you start naming out one, it falls into the other.
Go on, try and name out one. Go on.
Well, the IDA would be something working closely with the IDA. Since 2014, we've had a strong focus with the changing of the legislation reformation of Local Government Act that gave us that vehicle to kind of drive on economic development in Limerick and in the region. And we've been quite successful in that. Granted, we've been slow, but what that'll do is that close linking in jobs, there's been a massive increase in jobs. But that my focus would be to copper fast in that and to increase it. So people aren't leaving. Young people would be a strong focus. They're not leaving the shores. Do you know that we have specialised injuries in our area, and you know, there'll be knockoffs from that and spin-offs for that for the city centre for the various environs. The second thing that I'd look at, and in particular, would be the whole thing about rural and urban divide, that there needs to be a kind of, from the outset, there'd be an equaling out and a focus on both rural, and from the outset, that there'd be a strong focus on equality of resources, even in terms of a mayor's budget, and that consultation piece would be critically important, Ciarán. And I think, you know, I've been travelling around in Rory. Granted, a lot of my focus and my votes have been in the rural side of it, and I've a proven track record based on integrity, experience and dedication over the last 10 years, delivering projects in the city. But I'd hope to kind of bring those skill set out to the county and deliver. And I'm a man of action, and I've a proven track record of delivering, working with people, listening. And I think that's a key thing. We cannot start throwing out loads of policies, but I think one of my strongest focuses, and that would link in with that priority, is listening, having the ability to listen. Not throwing out a load of... Keith, I was at a person of the year, a good friend of mine, Keith Earls, was on last week, and he asked the person, the ghostwriter, writing the book, he said, will you please just make the language simple and concise? Don't go into a lot of waffly words. So I'd like to keep it simple, bring people on board from a bottom-up approach. I've come from the bottom-up. I've worked with the fella in the local shop, the fella at the top, and working within the council from a rural and urban setting. From the fella that's working cleaning inside in the council to the CEO, we need to know them all. We just don't need to know the people at the top executive.
Right.
It's everybody's 13 or 1400. And the last thing that I'd probably focus on from my last point, there's quite a few now, Ciarán. This is a tricky one, but I'd say law and order. It's my background. I think we need a bottom-up approach. I think we need an empathy approach. Do you know, I was involved there in 2010. I set up a soccer team to work with people. Why did I set it up? Because I didn't have qualifications in drugs and alcohol education. But that was, the ball was a vehicle. That
so
I
you
could
say law
bring...
and order, you're talking about kind of community outreach stuff. You're not necessarily talking about Drew Harris's feet.
I'm talking about, I was at the policing authority meeting here during the week. And what was apparently, that was clear and crystal clear about the whole scenario is, it needs to be a bottom-up approach, working with young people, proactive, preventative measures.
Yeah.
It's great going in here with a big baton and locking people up. We have to go to the root cause, drugs, education, preventative work, building resilience in communities, working with people in a positive way, bringing them on board. Don't leave them on the outside. Unite the people, bring them together.
Eliza,
and that's been demonstrated.
Eliza Donovan, your three priorities.
Yeah, well, my priorities have been developed over the last 5 years. Over the last 5 years, I have been a local representative. I've been really embedded in our Limerick communities. I grew up actually in County Limerick and I'm living now in the city. Over the last 5 years, I've been the only Social Democrat on Limerick Council. So I've had to work with every party and none. And I've also been the only woman elected in my local electoral area. So every day I'm really embedded in my community. I also work every day as a speech and language therapist locally here in the community. So I know from speaking to people, both in my work as a healthcare professional and as a public representative, that what the people of Limerick City and County want is they want the basic services delivered by the council. They just want them delivered better. And they want a fairer Limerick as well. So my three priorities are going to be, number one, we have a complete lack of basic public amenities throughout the city and county. We need more community and recreational facilities throughout, from all our, in our rural towns and also in our city. Secondly, I think that we need to build much safer environments for people, and we need to ensure that people are proud of the communities that they're growing up in and that they're living in. And I also think that a priority for the mayor needs to be protecting our local environment as well. And that is ensuring that we have clean air and clean water for the people of Limerick City and County as well. So those would be my priorities.
How are you going to clean the air for people in Limerick?
So we actually, in my local area of Limerick City West, we now have more air quality monitors than we do in any other place in Limerick City and County. That's something that I have been proactively working on.
That tells you how dirty the air is.
Yes, it is. Well, we've only just started monitoring it because, gathering that sort of data is really, really, really important. And I would say that one thing that the mayor has to do is ensure, I don't think currently in Limerick, that we have a fair transition transition in relation to meeting climate targets. I think most of the burden is being put on ordinary working people. And I think we need to ensure that any of our big polluting businesses, of which we know that there are many throughout the city and county, that the mayor needs to hold them to task to ensure that they are meeting their climate targets and that they are creating a safe environment with clean air, with clean water, for people growing up in those environments around them.
Elise O'Donovan, Frankie Daly, Dr. Laura Keyes, all still with me, all hoping to be mayor of Limerick in the not too distant future, as is Gerben Unk. He's a member of the Party for Animal Welfare. Take a little listen.
Hi, this is Gerben Unk. I'm running for the Limerick mayor. I'm the vegan parking candidate. I want Limerick to be taken over by the Vikings again. Limerick was founded by the Vikings in 1992. I'm running on a platform against animal cruelty. Animal cruelty is at the height here in Limerick. A horse was left for death was outside my native Newcastle West, and that needs to stop immediately. The antisocial behavior is at a high here in Limerick, both against animals and also humans. That needs to stop now. I also want Limerick to adopt the plant-based treaty. And the other thing about housing and transport is very important. I want the UL students, there's 20,000 students at UL, but yet only 2,000 housing units. Students are living from their cars. That's ridiculous. There should be more houses built for students. That's my priority. And also affordable transport. Ideally, there should be free public transport here in Limerick. That shouldn't be much to ask. The Limerick mayor has 40 million to spend over a 5-year period. That could well be used for that particular purpose. I also want landlords to accept pets. So I'm a landlord myself. I'm accepting pets myself. I want every landlord to please accept pets as well. Many landlords, also for housing corporations, homeless centers, don't accept pets. I want them. That wouldn't be too much to ask. Thank you.
The vegan Viking himself, Gerben Unk, who is running as part of the Party for Animal Welfare, hoping to be elected mayor on the 7th of June. As is, as I say, Elise O'Donovan, Social Democrat councillor at the moment, Frankie Daly, who's an independent councillor, and Dr. Laura Keyes, who's running for Rowerta for the role, all still with me here in the Strand. Laura, what would you suspect to be the main challenge you would face in implementing those priorities you set out before the break?
Well, actually, I'm one of my quotes that I use quite often is that I don't see barriers in life. I just see surmountable obstacles. This is a new position created.
Reminds me of the fella falling off the top of the skyscraper who keeps saying, so far, so good, so far, so good.
Well, this is a new position, right? And the mayor will have a democratic remit second only to the president. I will be able to say to anyone, any government minister, civil servant, TD, that I have a bigger mandate than you. Therefore, I'm getting the things that Limerick people need. My main goal is to open the doors, the closed doors in council, move us away from project-based thinking into system-based thinking and bring about a change to where you have people's voices, people most impacted by decisions at the centre of decision-making and planning, bringing them in at the beginning and working with them to develop the change.
But is this not where we kind of where rubber meets road in terms of challenges? Like, you can say all those things, but what's your response when, say, Stephen Donnelly says, well, that's all very well and good, but I am the Minister for Health. This is the budget and there's a recruitment freeze. Deal with it.
Well, the recruitment freeze isn't by the government. It's by the HSE because they did not get enough funding in the government from the government in the last budget. So I think it's going back to what I just said. Saying, no, I have a mandate here from the people of Limerick, over 200,000 people. And I'm sorry, but we have people dying on trolleys that need urgent care and need it now. And you're just going to have to find that budget. Take the budget from the long-term plans of building lots more bed towers and elective surgery hospitals. They're great and we do want them, but we need action now. There's clearly budget there. Give it to me now for
Elisa, how much do you suspect the role will be occupied by dealing with national government? Kind of being a conduit and lobbying ministers, and I know this kind of capacity to sit at cabinet, I think, is it twice a year? How big a part of the role is that going to be?
I think that is going to be a big role in it, you know? I mean, this is about being a voice for Limerick at that sort of national level and doing that lobbying. So I do think that is going to be a really important part of it. But I really think probably the most important part of this job, and just to say, you know, this is a really exciting time for Limerick, that we are going to be the first county in Ireland to drive this really important local government reform. And I think the most important thing that the mayor is going to do for the people of Limerick is to show leadership. Is to show leadership in relation to what sort of policies we're going to be implemented, maybe the culture changes we need to see in Limerick, driving what are the most important things to the people of Limerick. And I think it's about listening to all the diverse communities that we have throughout the city and the county, and listening to what they would like to see and implementing that. And of course, a part of that role is going to be lobbying at a national level. And certainly that is something, and to give an example from health, you know, a lot of people say, oh, this role has got nothing to do with health. But it absolutely does. Because I even know myself in the council that as a local councillor, there are things that we have already done as councillors that have impacted on the local health service here. And to give you an example, I worked with Minister Niall Collins, who obviously is not in my party, but obviously he's in Fianna Fáil and they hold the Ministry for Health. And I collected from the people of Limerick their experience of living with type 1 diabetes, because we had waiting lists of over 4 years for appointments for people living with type 1 diabetes in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And I worked with Minister Niall Collins, who presented those experiences that we collected from those people living with type 1 diabetes to the Minister Stephen Donnelly. And now, 4 years later, we now have a fully accredited Daphne Centre in UHL. And that came from a local councillor lobbying, along with advocates on the ground. So, yeah. You know, there is, and also, I guess, how we plan our communities has a huge impact on how healthy and mentally and physically healthy we are.
Well, Frankie, what do you say to the potential voter listening to this who agrees almost with everything Eliza has said, and as an offshoot says, I'm actually going to vote for a Sinn Féin or a Fianna Fáil or a Fine Gael candidate because, you know, there's more likelihood they'll be in government and they might have a bit. I'll vote for Maurice Quinlivan because Sinn Féin probably be in government.
I think, Ciarán,
we'll lobby them.
I think, Ciarán, I think you were very right when you pointed out the start. This is essentially a watered down position, you know, but it's a start. And I think the key thing, and I think it needs to be an independent, and I think it needs to be someone that's able to pull people together. And I've proven over the last 10 years, you have to work with everybody. You say there's a consultative forum that meets twice a year. But the beauty of the thing is you've access from the mandate. You've a mandate directly to the officials. I went back to college when I first became a councillor for a couple of years and I did a diploma in local government studies because I came from a youth justice officer's background. So I upskilled in that. And indeed, subsequent to that, I went in and I worked in the IPA for a year and did a postgraduate diploma in public sector management, where you work with the public sector, the civil servants in the council, the civil servants, they're the guys you work with. And if you go with a kind of a, you know, if you're trying to unite people in a kind of a, you know, in a respectful manner, you pull people together, I think it's a huge start. Mm. And I think over time, if you can work with people and not be off the wall around, you know, people that are going out there over the years are trying to make the right decisions. But at the moment, I think it needs to be an independent voice. You know, the public are kind of, you know, they need someone that will actually stick to their word. And I think I've a proven track record. I'll be wearing the green jersey. And that's, you know, Limerick isn't my heart.
Yeah.
But I'll be accountable. I won't be kind of shackled by the party whip.
Can I put in there on it? So the independent voice, I understand where that's coming from. But I think we actually need somebody who's experienced at brokering at national and international level, because that is what the mayor is going to be doing. So somebody who knows how to and is already a player on the stage.
Sorry, not to be patronising, but who around the table brokers deals at international level?
Well, I certainly do. One of my most recent projects was about developing, publishing regulatory data in an open access and fair manner. It came under the EU directive for open data from public sector bodies. And I'm the person who designed the whole concept, put it out there as the gold standard, and has been working internationally with other regulatory bodies to ensure that they are also doing the same thing. So it is something that is done. And I know we're talking here about local council, but actually pulling that up...
Did you really define that as brokering deals at international level?
Well, yes, I would actually.
Okay.
Yes, because it's the exact same skills. You are going in to a place who don't want to do something or don't know how to do something, and you are working with them to come together behind a process or a product where everyone agrees.
We're almost out of time, and I've been getting in trouble all day for talking too long to all the different mayoral candidates, but I'm really interested in it. So before I go, 30 seconds, and I really mean 30 seconds, what would you do on day one?
I think I would be still calling for the lifting of the moratorium, but also calling on Simon Harris to publish the clinical advice that he has said that he has been given and is using as a rationale not to upgrade or reinstate our A&Es. I want that clinical advice published, because without it, we cannot move forward on our hospital crisis.
Eliza, day one.
I would reopen a Skeeton swimming pool. I would have a open water swimming area in Limerick City. And I would ensure that we have basketball courts, public libraries and the public amenities that people need in their communities. I would be focusing very much on that.
Frankie, day one.
Day one, I'm meeting with the new elected members and I'm bringing them all on board and I'm getting their views. I'm working collectively with the executive, with the management. And I'd like to get, you know, the views of department heads that are, you know, the SEO officers that are slightly down. And I'd like to have an inclusive approach, you know, from the outset, that it's a bottom-up approach, that there's no such thing as a silly question. And everybody's input, from the person that's cleaning the floors to the person at the top, that they're... Do you know that they'll have a voice?
Frankie, people text into the show day in, day out, telling me all I ask are silly questions. But anyway, Frankie Daly, independent councillor and mayoral hopeful. Eliza O'Donovan, who's the Social Democrat councillor at the moment, also hoping to be the mayor of Limerick. And Dr. Laura Keyes, Rowerta candidate for Limerick mayor. Thank you all very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.